Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today on the Steve Jones Show, we take you to warmer climates as we head to Clearwater this afternoon. Talk a little bit about the Phillies. We'll also head to warmer climates by talking about some of the medals at the Olympics. Seems strange to say head to warmer climates to have that discussion, but, you know, let's face it, it has been warmer there than it has been here, and we've had more snow than they have. And because I have the opportunity, I'm going to give you the medal count. The United States and the Netherlands tied at 20 for total medals. Most gold medals still belongs to Germany with 8. Norway has 7. The United States and the Netherlands with 6. And it was another Dutch sweep in the 10,000-meter men's speed skating because, let's face it, it is their national sport. So that catches you up on some of the things going down. The U.S. Has a gold medal in ski halfpipe, which is like snowboard halfpipe, but instead of being on a snowboard, they're on skis. Just one of the many new and interesting events at the Olympics. We'll get into some other discussion as what you would like to talk about at 800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. That's the number to use for the Steve Jones Show today.
Yes, indeed. Great to have you with us today. Things up tomorrow, especially with the with college basketball kicking in high gear. We're going to talk a little bit about student attendance today at football. We're going to talk about that. Thursday, it looks like we're going to have Tony Nahman. Because I said to Tony, you know, it's been a while since we destroyed Kevin's childhood.
Oh, that's great. Let's do that right away, yeah. And he was more than happy to help, I'm sure.
Absolutely. More than, he said, really? He says, let's get to it. And I said, I want to talk about several things. I said, you can't really judge Olympic attendance. I said, because they're forced to go. But, I mean,
maybe. That may be.
Jimmy Fallon was so funny last night.
Now, don't tell me everything because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it was a riot. He says the United States Olympic hockey team beat Russia and everybody applauds. He says in a shootout. He said the Americans will play again on Wednesday. The Russian team's gone missing. He said it brings new meaning to the word shootout. I gave him a shot last night. Watch him. I thought he was pretty good.
I thought
he was really, really good last night. I thought he was really good. He had me laughing out loud a few times.
Speaking of the TV side of things, I'd like your thoughts on the... I know you are not an NFL pregame watcher.
Nobody is.
But I thought it was...
Nobody is.
I like the NFL Today setup with Dan and Shannon. And they're gone.
There are too many voices.
Dan Marino, Shannon Sharp, gone. Tony Gonzalez in. So it's going to be James Brown, Boomer Esiason, Bill Cowher, and Tony Gonzalez.
Okay, and?
Well, I liked the fact that Shannon was there with Boomer because Shannon and Boomer would argue, and that was entertaining for me.
I think they need to revamp all these things.
What would you do? What would you do if you're a producer? How would you make people interested in watching these?
part of the problem that they have is that back when the concept came up, and it was Frank Gifford and Jack Whitaker, it was novel and interesting because, and it was a half an hour, because you didn't have ESPN or the NFL Network or anything else at that time that was a 24/7 outlet for such shows. So every week you'd wait and you'd go, you know, I couldn't wait to watch the show because they would preview all the games. And then along came Brent Musburger, Jimmy the Greek Snyder, Irv Cross, Phyllis George. And again, same thing. You know, it was the only show on, besides what NBC was doing with Brian Gumbel, and, you know, they introduced really the true NFL insider in Will McDonough, Sean McDonough's father from the Boston Globe, who had insider information that he would pass along to viewers every week. And I always found that to be interesting. The problem that you have today is that ESPN's 24/7, and ESPN gets the landscape. I mean, they get it. You know, they know you need to be talking about football a good chunk of the year. I mean, the only time of the year that you don't really talk a lot about football is usually June to just past the 4th of July. Every other time, they have it built in such a way where you're discussing football, whether it's training camp, preseason games, regular season games, postseason games, Super Bowl, free agency, combines, and the draft. They have you locked in. If the combine is going on this week, what you love is a footnote. You love the Olympics. If the combine's going on this week, you're a footnote. The combine's first.
Well, I think that's why you have NFL Network, and that's why it's a 365-day type of network. No,
but I'm talking about on this show, we would be talking about the combine.
I wouldn't deny that.
We would not be talking about the Olympics. I mean, really, David Wise, that's awesome. He won half-pipe skiing today, okay? Who are the Steelers drafting?
No, I don't deny that at all.
I mean, that's just a fact of life, the way that they have it set up now.
And the NFL has been brilliant at doing that.
So now the NFL today on CBS is competing with NFL Network, competing with ESPN, competing with Fox. And there's so many people on sets now. ESPN has a cast of thousands. Fox has a cast of thousands. CBS has a cast of thousands. They all look like a DeMille film marching out of Egypt, where everybody gets their 10 seconds and they move on. How would I revamp it?
I mean, it is one of the shortest ones, isn't it, at 30 minutes? Or is it now an hour?
No, they're all an hour.
Is it an hour? See, I showed you how much I pay attention when I watch it.
They're an hour. How would I revamp it? I'd revamp it in a couple of ways. Number one, I think they were smart to cut. Look at NBC, for example. It's Tony Dungy, Rodney Harrison, and Dan Patrick. It's three people. Now, they also have the advantage where they have highlights of every game. That is a huge advantage over the pregame shows. Now, the difference between College Game Day on ESPN, football or basketball, and the NFL shows is the College Game Day goes on location. So there's more natural energy and juice in those shows compared to the stale NFL Today in the studio show. I mean, the NFL Today did not even go to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I was surprised about that, actually.
To me, when it comes to postseason play, you take the opening weekend where NBC gets two games and then CBS and Fox each get a game, you should have your pregame show on location at the one game you get that weekend. And the same thing with the AFC and NFC Championship games. Fox brought its studio group to Seattle and had them there. So you feel the energy of the crowd and the atmosphere going in. CBS did not do that this year with the NFL Today, taking it to the AFC Championship game. I think that's a mistake. I think that if you have a prime game that you want to have on, I think they should start considering taking it out of the studio and getting them on location someplace for a big game. And it doesn't have to be your 425 game. You know, I mean, can be. But to get them out on location someplace, I know it's more expensive to do.
And the Avenue of the Americas in New York City doesn't count.
Right, that doesn't count. So I would get them out to Gillette Stadium. I would get them out to Giants Stadium. I would get them out to M&T Bank Stadium. I would get them out to Heinz Field, where they're visible. That'd be one thing I would do. And I would do it every week. I would pick out a game of the week that I would send my crew to. Number two, I would concentrate a lot on game information and so forth, and I would check in with the announced teams at each of the locations and get previews at each of the locations that we would be doing games at on that particular day. It's also 2014. I would do a 7 to 8 minute pre-produced nostalgia piece. For example, I would look back at the 1964 Cleveland Browns. I would look back at the 1974 Pittsburgh Steelers. Great feats that happened in years ending in four, for example. And I would do this in conjunction with NFL films, because those who love that would be into it for nostalgia. Others would be into it for history. And for young people, it would be a history lesson of some of the greats of the league. They get a chance to see some of that stuff. And I would incorporate that into my pregame show as well. 7 to 8 minutes out of your hour, but a chance to really see how great Jim Brown was in leading the Browns to the 1964 NFL championship. How great the Buffalo Bills were in 1964 winning the AFL championship. How great the Steelers were in their ascension in 1974 and what got them to the point which has set the tone for everything else that we've seen. You know, what was it like in 1944 when suddenly the Chicago Cardinals and the Steelers had to merge and be Card Pitt? Something like that. Because, and then next year in the five, in the 15 year, everything goes in fives. You know, Vince Lombardi bringing back the Packers to an NFL championship in 1965. There's no, that's the last year without a Super Bowl. I mean, and that's 7 to 8 minutes. I would do that to kind of change things up. Having a comedian on giving picks, okay, it's about as interesting as you bringing a chimp into the studio to do the same thing. I mean, now maybe I'm old school, but I've also done a lot of TV in my lifetime.
I have to admit, I kind of found it entertaining, Steve. Sorry.
What?
The comedic picks sometimes. I thought it was kind of funny. A lot of times I thought it was stupid, but...
I've seen it twice. I not one time even cracked a smile. I just don't... It's just... I look at it and go, okay, fine. If that's the audience you want to appeal to, I'm going someplace else. What time's the game?
I can't wait. Coming up, we get to talk about warmer climates like Clearwater in the next hour. I'm excited.
Yes. Can't wait for that. We're also going to talk about student attendance, a huge fall off across the country. The numbers are going to stun you. Today's show brought to you by Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Service and price mean everything to them.
When you think of a rock-solid team, all facets have to be in place. A strong line and gifted skill players. When you think of a complete auto dealer, all facets need to be in place as well. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers and selling more cars for nearly a century because they know they have to give you the absolute best auto buying and service experience you have ever had. Visit Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Also at sunburymotors.com.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Crotzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Crotzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrotzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Crotzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back. Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant, Mills, and Northumberland. Homeowners, life, auto, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, it means everything to them. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant, Mills, and Northumberland, serving the Valley for more than 50 years. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. At the Olympics today, another gold medal for the United States, and I believe a great start in bobsled with a first place for the women's bobsled, first place after the first two runs. So at the Olympic Games today, it's been an okay day for the United States. It's been a quiet day. There's no figure skating today on the docket. The ladies' short program is tomorrow night. U.S. hockey team gets back into it tomorrow when they take on the Czech Republic. Kevin says, "Who do you like in that game?" Like, I root for my country, dog.
Who are you, and who do you play for?
Yes.
U.S. in position for two medals in women's bobsled right now.
Yeah, very exciting. All right. So let's start.
And Lolo Jones is not one of them, by the way.
Yeah, nobody cares about her. Lolo Jones cares about Lolo Jones.
I was going to say, Lolo cares about Lolo. I guarantee you that.
That's about what it comes down to. Lolo cares about Lolo. I don't care who wins the doggone medals.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Come on.
So
much for your, I'm all about the Americans. Yeah, I don't care who wins the medals. Come on. Yes. Yeah.
I care if it's Americans winning the medals. I don't really care the name of the person all winning it. Jeez, I could care less about it.
Okay. That's
like, why Brett got a silver the other day who had done like zilch? I mean,
nothing through the last four years.
He barely made it down the hill in 4 years. All right. And then he gets a silver. Well, hey, bully, I'm all for it.
Bully.
Way to go. Way to come back. I love it.
Well, right now it's the United States, Canada, and U.S. 2. 1-2, and 3 with two runs to go in women's bobsled. Can be a North American sweep.
Okay. Now we'll do what we can here to not lose any more audience. All right. he said there, you get so like shoulders slump.
Bring out the brooms, baby. It's a North American sweep.
Yeah, well, let's talk about student attendance at games. ESPN did a really interesting piece on this. Really interesting. And what's happened is that students are buying tickets to games, to college football, and there's a chunk of them not going. Now, Penn State has one of the lower numbers when it comes to no-show rates for students that have bought tickets. So we'll just get that out right away. Penn State sold 21,368 tickets for students. All of them gone, right? No, 21,366. No, I had it right, 368. 21,368. That's 1,000 more student tickets that they sold than the year before. Penn State had a no-show rate this year among students of 18%. Now, that includes, for example, that game with Eastern Michigan where it poured. It was a lousy game. People knew it. Or, no, it was Kent State. It was a lousy game, Kent State. People knew it. That fourth weekend, which I've always said has to go and has to change, you know, because it's the least interesting weekend of the college football season, period. Networks really struggle as to what games to put on because there aren't any marquee games in weekend number four. Well, Penn State had Kent State, and it poured. Well, you had a lot of no-shows throughout the stadium. Well, the student no-show rate altogether for Penn State last year was 18%. That's actually one of the lower ones. Now let's get to some other ones. Okay. Arizona. And what's really bad is the number of student tickets like some of these places have. Hey, Penn State's 21,368. That's the largest in the country. That's the largest. Okay. Arizona, 9,000 seat student section. They had a 48% no-show rate this year. How about that? 48% no-show rate. And they did not sell out their student tickets to begin with. 48% no-shows for Arizona football among students. Oklahoma. I mean, there's certain things that people assume that are automatics. This blows up a lot of assumptions and myths here. Oklahoma, 28% no-show rate for students. And they get a 76% discount to on the regular price. And what they do is if Oklahoma sells more than 8,000 student tickets a year, represents roughly a third of the student population, the school gives students time to claim their tickets. If they don't claim them by Friday, they go back into the pool and they're sold to the general population. Oklahoma has a 28% no-show rate. University of Michigan had a no-show rate of 21% in 2011, 25% in 2012, jumped to 26% in 2013. They sold 19,850 student tickets, which is 1,500 fewer than Penn State. They had a 10% drop in student season tickets to begin with. Michigan also added a $7.50 fee to each ticket this season to support student programs and also took away senior reserve seating in favor of a general admission policy, which contributed to fewer people buying tickets. Hoping to slow the slide, Michigan sent out a questionnaire to students at the end of the season asking them why they might not have been happy with the stadium experience. A senior at Michigan named Adam Stillman attended all but one of the team's home games. He prioritizes answers and how he said them is number one. And these answers are going to scare administrations. Now, this is a kid that went to all but one game. And remember, what's something that a lot of people have talked about in stadiums? Wi-Fi connectivity. Right? That's what they've talked about. Wi-Fi connectivity.
All the new stadiums are getting that now.
Guess what Stillman rated as the number one thing about going to the games? One, sitting with friends. Two, sitting close to the field. Three, the outcome of the game. Four, tailgating. Five, the student section atmosphere. Six, the food specials. Seven, the entertainment. Wi-Fi finished eighth.
Well, you know, I have a thought on that, though. I have a thought on that. Wi-Fi finishes lower because a lot of students don't need it because they have a smartphone that they can use the data plan that they have there to send out whatever tweet or whatever picture they want.
Exactly. That's why it's not high on the list. And everybody's throwing all this thing into Wi-Fi. It's not high on the list because they've already got the plans. Okay? Okay, the one with the biggest challenge is the University of Miami. For one thing, the stadium's 20 miles from campus. Student tickets are free there because they're just trying to get anybody to go. At Miami, they try to do as much as they can to work on freshmen left and right to get them to go. It's hard. Iowa. Okay, good season last season. Wasn't winning a lot before that. They used to get 10,400 students per game. This past season, they sold 7,500 student tickets. And of those 7,500 student tickets, 30% no-shows. In the middle of last season, Iowa closed off two sections of the stadium and began selling them to the general public. two sections that used to be for the students. Michigan State won the Big Ten Championship, won the Rose Bowl. 13,500 student tickets. They went 13-1. And 20% no-show rate. We mentioned Penn State, 18.1% no-show rate. Now, part of it, again, is, you know, a couple of the games, the weather was terrible. And they, you know, and they point that out. And weather can be terrible in different ways. Georgia, for example, one of the issues they deal with, heat early in the season. Georgia sold 17,212 season tickets to students. This is the SEC. 29% no-show rate. Benjamin Walk, a senior at the school, who was also the football beat writer for the student newspaper, the Red and Black, said one of the reasons for the no-shows is because of a stale game atmosphere that caters to the old money and wants the traditions of decades ago. He writes that one thing that Clemson, Vanderbilt, and Auburn all had in common was a crazy stadium atmosphere. Georgia, traditional music, and a PA announcer barely yelling, "Let's make some noise on third down." Now, the SEC this year had attendance numbers at 75,674 a game, the highest of any conference, 16th straight year. 7.56 million fans went through the turnstiles in the SEC this year. But student attendance is a problem. Tennessee keeps a lot of detailed data. Percentage of tickets scanned for each game is matched up against weather, kickoff time, and which network the game is on. The conclusion, the highest percentage of tickets used in each of the last four seasons came at night games, including 6 p.m. against Tennessee Martin, which only had a 7% no-show rate, the best over the last 4 years of home games. Now they have to work harder to get students to go across the board. Okay, lowest student no-show rate with 15,700 student tickets sold to each game, and the no-show rate of 4.7% is Alabama.
Really?
They're winning.
Oh, you're saying, okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the other way around. That's what didn't make any sense to me. I was thinking that you meant, all right, you're saying the lowest amount that didn't show up. I got you now. All right, okay. I'm with you.
I thought the 4.7% was a giveaway on that.
Well, I was thinking of it the other way around, and that's why I'm like, what?
Right.
I panicked there for a minute. Thought there was something seriously wrong in college football. Well, I think there is a point to the stadium atmosphere comment that you mentioned one of the student writers talking about. There's because I can get a feel for the crowd with the crowd mics, but I can't get the full experience on TV. And I think that's, if you don't have somebody that's really, you know, call it a stadium production, I think that's what lacks sometimes.
Well, Penn State is a stadium production, and they've done so for a while. It is not a very, I don't hear much of it. I mean, I'm going to go by what people tell me. How about that? Because look, when I have my headsets on and I'm doing the game, I don't really hear what's going on. So what people tell me is the music's too loud. For one thing, and this should be solved by the scoreboard. When they put the scoreboard in, they're in the process right now stripping the old boards.
Okay.
When they install the new, they've taken the crane off the south end. Everything's done being done in the north end now. they'll finally lift those scoreboards out, put new ones in. But part of this is supposed to be a distributed sound system in the stadium.
Yeah, that's what's missing at Penn State. I can speak from firsthand experience there.
People in the South End are getting blown out. The PA system is way too loud there. I mean, way too loud. And there's too much talking on it. You know, when the play's done, it should be ball carrier, tackle, down. Done. Okay? If you want to play music after that or whatever and pipe that in, that's fine. Okay? Get the crowd kind of engaged in what's going on. But there's going to be a more distributed sound system in the stadium. That's going to help a lot. Not just a little, a lot.
But I'm okay with the PA announcer having a little bit of personality as long as it's put in the right spots and the right times.
That's why you have cheerleaders.
Yeah, but I can't hear them.
Well, there's a mic, man. He has a mic.
You know what? That's an issue. I can't hear him.
Yeah. Well. I'm just telling you what people tell me. Talks too much.
Well, and I understand that, and I can see that, and I've heard that same thing.
And I don't hear him, so I don't know if he does or not. I have no idea.
I'm just saying I'm okay with a little PA personality, as long as it's in the right spots.
You know what? I really am not. I think that's not the job of the public address announcer. I think the job of the public address announcer is to be a public address announcer. Yeah, that's an information position. That's not a let's do the wave position. That's an information position. That is a position that should tell you who made the basket, so forth. Read announcements, and if somebody needs medical attention, you know, whatever. You know, that's an information spot. But that's just me. I mean, you know, I've only been to 50 stadiums. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I think I think the biggest part I'm reading here is, as much as people talk about a noon kickoff, you know, I'm talking about student attendance now. To me, it sounds like the best time to play games now is 3:30, 4:30, 6 o'clock.
As a fan, I hate noon kickoffs. Don't like them. And the two reasons for me is, and I don't get a chance to go to many games, so you know me, I want the full experience. It's tough to tailgate at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no, and tailgating is an important part of all this. I think if you can get as many 3:30, 4:30, 6 o'clock kickoffs and then mix in a 7:30 or 8, I think now you're talking about, especially in September and October, I think when you get to November, I don't think people mind noon kickoffs in November. How about that?
I don't know. I mean, again, I don't get to many games, so my point of view is going to be a lot different than people that go to games every week. So it's probably not a fair comparison, but I love that 3:30 kickoff atmosphere. I love to be able to... I like tailgating before the game, not necessarily after.
Right. Well, I think they need to revamp what I think they need to put in for as many of the late kickoffs as possible now, based on seeing this. Because, I mean, even when it's a 3:30 kickoff, I think people love the fact that in September and October, especially, and into early November, doing exactly what you're talking about, going out, making a day of it, enjoying it, and when the game's over, drive home. You know, a lot of people like tailgating after the game and so forth. Really, you know, there's kind of a desire at some point, hey, you know what, we got to pack them, go home. For the game, you've got the game. And even the students are saying, look, the best part is sitting with their friends, being in the student section, being close to the field, the whole deal. Wi-Fi connectivity comes in. down the line. It's irrelevant to them.
Although, if you tried to send a text or an email or data out of Beaver Stadium, it's not easy.
Well, they put up more towers, including there's a new one they put up behind Medler Field, Lebrano Park. They put up more towers. So they've done that. But this is, I mean, I see this, and it looks to me like kickoffs actually is the biggest part of this. And part of it is you have to have people playing at noon. I mean, the Big Ten, as an example, has three time slots at noon. ESPN, ESPN2, and Big Ten Network. I think what you got to be fighting for is to get as many as 3:30, 4:30, 6 o'clock time slots as possible. I think maybe if you're the Big Ten, okay, I put three games at noon. Now, you're going to have seven games in the conference in a given weekend. Now, there's two bye weeks coming up for everybody again this season. There's two bye weeks. But if you have seven coming up on a weekend like that, okay, three you got to stick in the early time slots. But then you ought to take the other four games and make one at 8 o'clock, make one at 6:30, and make the other two 3:30. I think it's your best chance of getting students out there. I think, you know, again, they're, you know, no offense, but they are out partying a lot and staying out late on Friday nights.
I was going to ask how much getting up early might have had influencing.
Well, it has a huge influence on it. That is not a small factor that they go out on Friday night and they have themselves a rip-roaring good time. That's part of college. I have zero problem with that. And some of these kids are coming home at, you know, 1, 2, 3, unfortunately 4 in the morning. They'd go to the game the next day. I think I'm going to sleep in. But if the game's at 3:30, even if you sleep till 1 o'clock, guess what? You can still go. Now, part of this is you are absolutely dependent on television. This is not like you can sit there and say, you know what, I've looked at the research. We're going to make all our kickoffs in October and September 3:30 kickoffs. Then we'll debate what to do in November because of the cold. You also have two weekends, by the way, in the Big Ten schedule that are non-student weekends. Labor Day weekend, Thanksgiving. Now, that's factored into this as well. You have to factor those two things in. So Penn State this year will only have one. They've got one home game on Thanksgiving weekend. Labor Day weekend, they're in Ireland. But these, you know, I'm telling you, in the Big Ten in basketball, they realize with the students gone, There is a plan on the table for something innovative for the opening Big Ten basketball weekend that does not involve home sites. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Homeowners, life, auto, business insurance, the service of price means something to you. It's Kratzer Insurance that served the Valley for more than 50 years. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We're going to talk baseball next, revisit this topic as we try desperately to make this an Olympic-free hour.
Good luck.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that minute thing, don't we?
Yipper.
Here's a fun fact for you. There's 5 more days. All right. Then after that, a whole bunch for the next one. We get back to talking sports.